As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
It is my desire to create a legacy for myself and for my family. So I decided to add Larry Curry to my success team and to my circle of life. He's a part of my first string. It is his job to turn my nickels into dimes and my sweat into equity. Larry has shown me that he has the competency, integrity, and the focus to find a positive direction for my money and consequently that can brighten my future endeavors. So my trust in him and his financial insight has led me to introduce you to him. If you're concerned about your financial future and have not seen real growth in the seeds you have planted, I encourage you to add Larry Curry to your success team. Please contact him at 407-800-4154 so that your financial journey to success can begin.
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Today is a very unusual time, and we find ourselves pondering over the things of the past and present to determine where we actually are and where we're heading. You know, there are very few emotions that can blind a person. A person can be blinded by love. You can be blinded by hatred. You can be blinded by envy. And I'm sure there's some others. But those things are the kinds of things that can make you not fully understand why you feel the way you do and why you make the decisions that you make. And so we want to talk today about why is it that there are some things that are clearly seem clear to one individual or seem clear to a group of individuals, but yet there are people who deny what seems to be an obvious decision? You know, one thing is clear, that we are all born and need health care. And there's going to become a period in time where our bodies are not as strong as they should be, and we're going to need the assistance of doctors and others to help us maintain our health. And then there's going to become a time when nothing that the doctor does is going to change the fact that we're going to reach our demise. And if there's anything we need our government involved in, it is helping us when we're at our most vulnerable, when we're a child, and it assisting us when we're at our gravest time, when we're about to leave. But yet we have a government right now that seems not to understand or appreciate the need to give everyone affordable health care, and the kind of health care that will extend not only adult lives, but the lives of children. There are many countries around the world who this is not even a question. They're given health care only because they are citizens of that country, and that is the only requirement that is needed. Why then does the richest country in the world find it necessary to forsake so many millions of Americans by not extending them proper daily health care? We all know that if you don't go to the doctor on a regular basis, and you only go when there's an emergency, that your life will not be extended beyond its normal possibilities. And what I mean by that is, with proper daily health care, with the opportunity to go to the doctor on a regular basis, your mortality will be extended. But if you're always waiting for the emergency to come before you go to the emergency room, then you will not receive the kind of care that will let you live to the day that you were expected to die. But we live in a time when there's so many Americans who are so full of envy or hatred, they vote against their own interests. And you wonder why economics is not the only thing. Economics is one of the things that should bind all people beyond their differences about race. Because if there's anything that people should understand, being poor and without health care impacts us all the same. It does not give you an advantage because you're white. It does not give you an advantage because you're a woman. There is no advantage because you are a person of color. You need to have health care because we all are human and we're all susceptible to getting sick. So my question is, why would the majority of us who find ourselves in the working class, the working poor, or the poor, allow our elected officials to take money from programs that serve the poor, decimate those programs, and move that money for tax cuts for the rich and suggest that someone who's rich, if you allow them to have more money, they will somehow do something that will benefit the poor. We all are much aware that they've done this before, and at no time making the rich richer has given the poor or the working class a better standard of living. So we just want to talk about today, what are the kinds of things that blind people into working or doing or voting against their best interest? We all know that because of Obamacare, there were many Americans who were able to have health care for the first time. And when they talk about health care exploding, I am still right now at this present time have health care that is less than what it would have been if had not Obamacare been in existence. So I'm not sure who they're talking about when they're talking about the fact that the health care has gotten higher under Obamacare, because mine is still several hundreds of dollars lower than it would have been had not Obamacare been in effect. So I just want to just have a real conversation about what it is that keeps middle America voting for people who are giving tax cuts to the rich and clearly are telling them that. It's not like they're being fooled. They're being told, just like we hear every day on the news, that Medicare is being decimated, Obamacare is being taken away, there's going to be an increase in the military, and there's going to be an increase in rich tax cuts for the rich. So when you're being told that, how in the world can you, when the majority of us fall under the level of rich, continue to allow ourselves to be taken advantage of in this fashion? It is so time for those of us who work hard every day, try to pay our bills, to recognize what is going on in our government. Joyce, I know that you're aware of everything that's going on and you stay on top of things. Why in the world do you believe that the vast majority of hardworking Americans are willing to vote for a party that clearly tells them who they're going to give the tax advantages to and turn their back on the people who actually vote them into office?
Black. They think that's who that they're it helping is the minority race, the black race, the Mexican. But when you look at the programs, those are not the people that this Obamacare really truly helped. When you see all these people on TV and asking and begging for them to not to get rid of the Obamacare, these people that are in critical situations and who have taken advantage of the Obamacare programs, they're not blacks. I've yet to see blacks that are in critical condition saying that if they lose Obamacare that they're gonna suffer this and that. I never see any of my people there. But these are the people that your typical American society think that they're helping, and that's the reason why they're trying to make all these programs obsolete. But they don't realize that they're hurting themselves. Now, I do have a number for everybody to call. Your senator, there's a new number. The last number that I had been giving you was your representative. This is for strictly for your senators that will be voting. I do have a number for you to call and let them know that you do not do anything to the Affordable Care Act. Please allow me to have the same type of health care that you have. That number is 855-971-2021. Now, you call that number, they're going to ask you for your zip code, and then they will tell you your two senators and they will leave a message. You can match number one for your first senator, number two, or how many other senators you got. They'll give you all these numbers to match, and then you could either leave a recording, you can email them, you can leave your name and your address and ask for even a written message back. We need to do that, and we need to do it really. We need to jump on this because there's too many people. Another reason why you said, okay, your health care has not changed, but if I'm not mistaken, you retired. But what has happened to people like my husband and other people out there, the insurance company it's gone so outrageously high. They force you. They're forcing people to get rid of this Obamacare because they're dropping all the insurance companies. Like just this week I heard that Humana is going to drop out here in Arizona. So now we actually don't have no program per se that supports the Obamacare. And it's really sad. But the main question to your answer is that majority of Americans thinking that the programs that are out there that was under Obamacare was helping minorities, when in reality that is not the case. Thank you.
Joyce, give that number one more time, please.
That number is 855-971-2021. 855-971-2021. They can put you in contact with your senator, and they'll tell you what number to match, and you leave your message. I left a message. You can email them. You can either ask for a response in writing. So we definitely need to take advantage of this today.
Well, Joyce, one of the things I've said, and I'll say it again, at the time that I retired, I was under the impression that I was going to have to pay to keep the insurance that I had as a teacher. I was going to have to pay over $700 a month, which would have been the second highest bill that I had in my budget. After looking into Obamacare, that bill dropped to under $400. And I had a supplement that I'll have for life from retirement of $150, which dropped it almost to $200 a month. Now, it has gone back up to $450. So with my $150 supplement, it's down to $300. But the point is that, and I understand those companies that are leaving the different areas altogether, but it is just my thought that if you're in a situation where you're paying almost $1,000 a month for health care, that puts you in a terrible situation where you question whether or not you should be paying for something that you might use instead of paying money for what you know you'll use. And so it is just unhealthy to put Americans in a position where they're paying that kind of money for insurance, because some people will be led to not have insurance at all, which will put them at greater risk. But as they are taking away health care from millions of people because they're pricing people out of the ability to pay, they're giving tax cuts to the rich. And they're not being secretive about it. We're all aware that the budget that is being proposed by the Republican Party is going to give tax cuts to the rich. So how can we as citizens sit back and allow the majority of us are the working middle class, the working poor, and the poor, who makes up the majority of Americans, sit back and allow these elected officials to make these kind of decisions that decimate the majority of the country? It seems unreal, and I do know that it's because of the blindness of these emotions that are keeping people from clearly seeing what is happening to them. Kathy, what is your thoughts about the emotions of envy and hatred that keep people voting against their own self-interest? How in the world could it be acceptable for the rich 1% of Americans to be always getting tax cuts and the working class always being denied the services they need to survive?
Good afternoon, everybody. James, I am just going to listen to you guys to get a better understanding because I can't comment because our insurance went up as well. So I can't really comment when the Obama – I can't comment. Okay.
Well, Andre, you're in the corporate world. Where in the world could – a company come out and say that it was going to give increases to the top echelon, but we're going to take away the benefits from the workers and have those workers be happy about it?
Well, that occurs, and you just have to make a decision. I mean, that occurs now. If you know the top executives are being paid at a much higher percentage than, you know, frontline workers and all, and you can easily say that that's unbalanced. But unfortunately, the company put it out like, you know, well, it's your choice. Either you go with it and stay with it, or you go to another company.
Well, what I'm
not saying that it's fair, but it is what it is. Go ahead.
Right, but what I'm saying, for a union to be willing to fight for the organization to do that. Here we have a elected officials who are doing things that are not in the best interest of what we could call our union body. Let's say that we call the middle class and the working poor, the union body. And you say to your union body, look, we're going to take away your health care, we're going to increase your taxes, and we're not going to raise the minimum wage, but we're going to increase, cut the taxes for the rich. And so I think most unions spend their time fighting against the upper echelon, not doing what it is that they want, but doing the things that better the existence of their body. But here in America, we find people who need insurance, people who need higher wages, people who need the services, the free services from their government, willing to vote for the Republican Party, which is against their best interest.
Yes, and I think Joy said it earlier, for the decision that they made, sometimes it just goes down to just stopping others by any means necessary, and I think that's what we're seeing.
And that's, again, what we call it, was blind rage, blind emotions, where white America is voting against their best interest because somehow or another they feel like it's going to hurt people of color and that they don't want to align themselves with the people that they're most aligned with. You know, it's hard to believe that people can turn their backs on themselves and their children in order to satisfy some ignorant understanding of what they believe life is. But, Joyce, that has to be what is happening, because white America somehow is closing their eyes to the fact that they're feeding the desire of people who are just willing to get rich at any cost. And it doesn't matter who they hurt.
Right, and it's a shame that they're not watching closely on the television of the people that are protesting about the Obamacare health care program that's been resolved. Because if they really truly take a look at it, it'll be someone that they can relate to. What I'm afraid of, too, is, and what they're trying to do, the Republican, they want to bring back and let each state validate and be control of their health care program. I hate that because here in Arizona, it lets me know that they're going to be very selective as to who that they're going to make sure that they get the type of care that they need. So the minorities, and minorities mean the blacks, the Mexicans, and whoever else that falls in that this category, we're going to hurt more so. At least with the Obama care of the affordable health care, it was like even across the board that everyone was entitled to have good health care. But when it falls back on your state, believe me, they're going to be very selective, going to make sure who qualify, keyword, qualify to accept and be able to get the assistance. This is where we are. We need a wake-up call.
And the fact that we're willing to spend so much money on the military with such little return. You know, one of the things I think about, we spend more money on military than a lot of countries combined, but yet we find ourselves in a position that we can't even use the military. I was listening the other night where it was stated that no option that we have to deal with Korea would keep millions of people from dying. So therefore, as strong as our military is, and they're talking about increasing the strength of our military, but it doesn't give us any additional options. So if you've got a military that you're going to increase the spending in that's not going to give you any additional military options, then why can't that money be used to make the health of your country better? What's the sense of wasting money on the applicant more military hardware if you can't use it to make your life better? It just doesn't make any sense to me that there has to be a limit to your military spending because there's no upside. And there's always a good upside to making your country healthier. So why do we spend money in areas that seem to give us no return, Audre?
Repeat your question. I'm sorry, one more time.
I'm just wondering why we spend so much money on military hardware when we're not able to use that sophisticated military hardware to make us safer, and that spending it on health care would make our country healthier.
Mm-hmm. And why do you say we're not able to use it, the weapon?
Because in terms of what was stated yesterday was that no military option that we could use against Korea would stop millions of people from being killed. So even if we use all the sophisticated things that we have, we could beat them, but it wouldn't stop them from killing millions of people. So we can't use those as options.
Well, you may not be able to stop them, but you want to be in a position that you can at least protect yourself. Again, you may not be able to stop, but you can surely slow them down. And you have to have that readily available. If you don't have that readily available, you're just like a sitting duck, you know?
Well, I understand you need to protect yourself, but there has to be a point at which too much doesn't make it any better. So that's why I'm saying in terms of increasing your spending in the military just for the sake of increasing your spending doesn't make you safer. So why not divert those funds to a place that can make you healthier? You know, you got to ask yourself, when you're protecting your home, how much protection do you need before you're paying too much money for protection versus taking care of those inside the house? And that's the question I'm asking. at some point you have to divert funds to other areas that might be better used. Joyce, what are your thoughts? At some point, you know, you can't use the weapons that we already have. So why can't some of that money be spent on something that would benefit all Americans?
Because that's not a way of showing other people in other countries how strong and how America's supposed to be number one. That's the reason why it's done. They cannot do that by showing healthy Americans on your day-to-day life. But they can front their military and tell you exactly and to put the threat out there and show you that they're willing to do that with the military power that they have and for the forefront. Don't make, you know, I can see what you're saying, but this is the reason why that is done. That's the reason why that they set it up that way.
And so they're so ready to beat their chest and could care less again about the poor people who need it the most, and that we're so reticent to give all these different countries all this money that we have, but we don't care about the people who work for that money. It seems insane to me that we always talk about the money we give to the poor and how people ought to work for it, but yet we give Israel all kind of money every year for them. Why don't we let them work for their money? You know, we give money to other countries as aid. Why don't we let them work for their money? You know, it just seems to me that we're always doing the opposite of what's in our best interest, seemingly, to me. There's nothing wrong with helping people, but when you're helping them at the expense of your own people, there seems to be some lunacy to that. Andre, our foreign aid, at what point does it get to be too much?
I think you said it earlier, when it reaches a point in which you're helping so much and which you're neglecting yourself. You know, even the scripture tells us that, you know, charity starts at home. Before we can help others outside the home, we have to make sure that we help within the home, our families and all. So the key piece here is, like I say, the point of making sure that we don't extend the support we're giving without realizing what we are protecting from within.
And there seems to be some doubt in what we're doing. I know that recently I saw where I think it was Tennessee had determined that they were going to extend beyond high school, that they were going to extend to community colleges free education. And so I'm just wondering why we don't see a need to help educate our students more through giving them free education and extending to them health care, which would make healthy Americans smarter Americans and therefore a smarter and stronger working class. That would seem to me to be better spent. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
There's an army rising up. There's an army. There is power.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has sent the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth,
igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Joyce, you know, I'm intelligent enough to know that I would love for there to be two parties, even three parties, fighting for my vote, fighting for what was in my best interest. And I'd just like to share with you, you know, when I'm talking about these subjects, we happen to have three women who are calling in today. And how can we accept the Republican Party that's trying to take money from Family Planning Hood and who supports women's rights, who want women to be forced to have children but don't want to support those children once they're born? So how is it that a party can be so focused and so dedicated on the lives of unborn children, but don't particularly care about those children after they're born to make sure they have proper medical care?
It's sad, isn't it? But what we're looking at and what our government is, and I hate to say that, is a modern-day slavery. Think about it and look at it. Look at the people that are in power and the people that is below them. And that's what we're looking at, the people in your government that, who has all the power, who's making the rules and controlling everything and telling you and dictating your lifestyle. They're nothing but the masters. And all we are just nothing but the slave. This is modern-day slavery. What it is, yes, a master. That's the umbrella that we're forming. And that is what we're functioning under right now. And it's a shame. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to uproot and come away from that. We want to be a free man for some odd reason or another, that some of us are free. But we still been working in the fields and they won't give us our freedom, even though we do have the papers to indicate that we are human. We're American. We're just like you. But they're trying to dictate and still say no separation of power. That's what it is. I hate to say that, but this is how I look at it.
And what we see and notice is that as individuals, we can fight through these battles and we can win on an individual basis. But when we try to win collectively or do what is in the best interest of all Americans, there seem to be roadblocks. And so, Andre, I'm asking you, you know, the same question I asked Joyce. It would be great to have a two-party system where both parties were literally fighting to do what was right, the right for all Americans. But clearly, how can you suggest that you are fighting for all Americans when you want to deny them the ability to plan their family, but you want to dictate to them that they have unwanted children? And even after they have these unwanted children, you don't have any programs to help them assist these children to adulthood. How can you be saying you're working in the best interest of all Americans when you do that?
Well, you're not. And you are acting as a pure owner. And Joyce gave a great analogy of the slave owners, because slavery comes in different forms. It's without freedom. And so in essence, she's exactly right. And the fact that, you know, while we are not working on a plantation, in essence, the master is trying to dictate how things should be, with no exception. And some would venture to say, and we may not want to hear it, but in essence, we currently only have one party. And you may say it's Democratic or Republican, but in essence, the way some of the results or some of the votes and stuff is going, you know, it may be just a little
slight difference, but in essence, the majority of the things we have a lot of similarities, let me just say. So in essence, it is an owner dictatorship, just trying to make sure that the rules and regulations are what they want, what they believe, and everything that's approved, if you would, has to do with the members that are in that elite club or organization in which they're supportive of, and not for the masses of the people.
And it seems like our government has gone to the very rich and who their decisions, how can you assume that these people can have any empathy for the poor when all of them are part of an elite rich group, that they can't see the need for the majority of Americans to have good health care because they believe that there's no downside to the poor not being healthy. I guess they think there's an unlimited amount of poor, so therefore there's no need to keep them healthy, which seems to work against the need for a massive number of people for the working class. Why would you want to decimate your working class by keeping them sick and without a future? Because you need those people to be the great foundation of your civilization. So, Joyce, they seem to be working against their own self-interest. Why do you want to keep the poor sick and then uneducated when those are the people who can be the foundation of your society and make everything work better?
Well, because of the people who really needing the health care program, they're irrelevant to them anymore. They can't use them up. They don't have, to the government, they have no purpose. There's nothing that they can do, they can produce. Now, the program that they're wanting to put forth is that they want to make sure that the young people get a cut with their health care, but older people, 65 and older, they want you to pay more. So your government is telling you that anyone that is elderly, over 65, handicapped, or have some form of disability, you're irrelevant to them. That's a part, they have no place for you in their government. But if you're still healthy, you can do and be a part of and make their country grow the way that they want to as far as making money, then you have no issue. But our poor have to stop thinking in the mentality that the rich, if some of the rich that are in power, going to help you, because that's the story, and that was the lie that was told to them. They would not touch Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. These are the things are non-touchables, and those are the ones that directly are being hit, and they are being hit hard. So our government is a farce. So they told us anything to get in power. So now that they're in power, then what? You're irrelevant if you fit in those categories. You on Medicaid, you on Medicare, you on disability, watch out.
And it seems that the people who find themselves in this position, the many Americans who are the working class, are the ones who have supported this regime. And now that they see what this regime is giving them, they still don't see the need to turn their backs on these people. These people are catering to each other. They believe that the world is made better when you make the richer richer and you keep the poor satisfied, and that they have not done anything to make life better financially for the working man, but just want to keep him satisfied and thinking that they're going to get to that point when there doesn't seem to be any indication that they feel like they need to make decisions that are in the best interest of these people. We as Americans love our children, and we want to do what is best for our children, but we find ourselves in a dilemma. You know, when your health care is so expensive that you can't, it takes away from you feeding your family day to day, are you providing for your family those essential things that they need? But what they might need, again, you're going to be making decisions to let drop your health care because you need to take care of what is going on with your family day to day. And these are the decisions that are being made throughout our country because of the expense of health care. And Joyce, we just, I mean, there is just no way that you can ask a man to come up with $1,000 a month for something that he might need. I mean, that's just a difficult thing to do when he knows he needs his car repaired, when he knows he needs a new roof on his house, when he knows he needs those essential things to keep his life going from day to day, and you're telling him to pay $1,000 for something he might use 2 months from now.
And more than likely, he's going to put that on the back burner, which is your health, and he's going to take care of the necessities. Our government is not even set up for us to earn enough for the necessity for people to pay that type of premium. It's pathetic, you see. And that's why today when I made my phone call, I asked my senator, I told him no. And I told him simply, Ben, I would like the same insurance and the health care that you have. I'm willing to accept the same as what you have. Now, when you go to vote, you need to take that into consideration. Why should you have better health care than me and I'm not able to get it?
And it's amazing that they can be that selfish, that they can feel so comfortable with going to the doctor and getting the care that they need without any doubt of what level it is, but they will reduce us to getting only emergency care, because that's what some Americans are going to be reduced to in the long run, is only emergency care because they cannot afford the monthly expenses for health care. We'll be right back as we take another break. James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, Saturday and Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 o'clock at West Coast Time. We are here so that you can have a voice on the things that impact your lives now and in the future. And as we determine with the direction of our country, we have to have a vehicle that allows us to speak up and speak loud. We now find ourselves in a situation where it seems that our government has decided to go off on its own and to take away from the people an opportunity for them to have good health care. We seem like we have a government that is not interested in thinking about the long-term benefit of its people. There are two things that give a serious return when our government spends its money on those kinds of things. When our government spends its money on good education, it gives back in return smart, educated taxpayers. When the government spends its money on health care, it gives back and creates a healthy working population. But somehow or another, our government has got fallen into the belief that providing tax breaks for millionaires is in the best interest of our country as a whole. And I'm not sure where that comes from, but other than the fact that the rich have always taken care of themselves, and that those in power cater to the rich in order that they can keep their place as elected officials. At some point or another, there has to be a penalty for elected officials turning their backs on the majority of us. But the majority of people have to get to the point where we work in concert, and that we demand that we're treated better as the working middle class. That is the reason why we had to go to unions, because the people, the working people, determined that the owners and the investors were not doing what was in the best interest of the working class, and so that has been the reason why unions have always popped up and become strong, because the working class had to create some kind of vehicle to defend for their rights. And now as citizens, we have to get together and determine how to create a vehicle or some kind of organization that fights for the rights of the middle class, because some of those in our Democratic Party and in our Republican Party don't understand the importance of doing what's in the best interest of the people. Audre, I think, said it right, that not only is the Republican Party fighting against what's against the best interest of the people, but there are some Democrats who as well have lost their way and who do not see the need to demand legislation that is about the people. Audrey, do you want to expand some of that thought and recognize again that the reason why unions have popped up into large organizations are because some of those organizations have failed to do what was in the best interest of their working class?
Well, when you think about it, you ask yourself, why don't more people participate in the political system? And I would venture to say that one of the reasons is because it's not a large enough distinction between the two parties. When you have members that are voting, and if another, the opposite party is not so strong on the opposition that, you know, it, and don't get me wrong, I know we have to work together in all things that we do, but I'm just saying that if it's not a significant distinction, people elect to not even be involved in it. And so in essence, it truly can be viewed as it's just one major party. Because you're exactly right. People are in sometimes for the wrong reason. They're in for re-election, which would promote themselves and potentially advance to a higher office or whatever the case may be. Because you can't tell me that we are finding ourselves in the situation that we're in had people really stood firm on what they believe and had a good, clear distinction of what their opinions are and what they would fight for. I think that more people would have participated. In this past election, of course, we know that a lot of people didn't go out to vote, and those that did vote identified that the Republican parties, I mean, not just the presidential, I mean the House and the Senate too, would be more in line of what they wanted. So, again, that's the reason why I say when you think about it, if you don't have a strong enough opposition, you just kind of all, you're muddying the water so much that you can't really determine one from the other party because, again, people not strong enough or not standing up demanding things be. And even within the Republican Party, you have some that are truly trying to look at things and weigh it out. You have some Democrat that, again, want to stand firm and some that do not. So it is an individual choice for sure. But that's one of the reasons why I say it's not really a clear distinction between the two parties. It's just different people and they talking because both parties, you notice, if they go to a certain organization, of course, just the political way is that you're going to say whatever that political correctness is for that organization. And people are just getting fed up with it, and people are just coming disengaged. And, I mean, you talk about hardcore people who have voted for years and years and just, you know, believed in how important the vote count. With this election here, I tell you the times have turned and people just are not as engaged. I could tell you myself, I haven't supported financially as much as I have in the past since this last presidential election, and that's discouraging because I'm a true, you know, supporter. But here I'm just pulling back and just kind of looking. And I know if I'm doing that, people that haven't necessarily had a strong history of it, they surely are not involved in it. So that's the way it is.
I have to tell you that I financially supported my candidates more this year with less results. And it made me believe that I'm going to have to engage myself financially even more if I want the kind of results that I want. And it is amazing to me that I think this talk show and my postings, I think all of us need to use Facebook and all of our social media as a time, as an opportunity to get our thoughts out there so that we can let people know what we're thinking and what we're feeling because we're just not being – our government is not catering to our needs. Our government is catering to what they think some people want to hear, and once they're in office, they're not doing – what they need to do that is in the best interest of our country. I can say to you that the money's for that wall. Now, you can't tell me that spending money for a wall is more important than spending money for health care. But they want that wall. And I don't think that wall will ever materialize. But that money that they wanted to spend for that wall, needs to be spent for the better interest of our country. And so you can talk about all these things that we need, but we need things to impact the lives of people on the ground. We need to encourage our children to become good citizens. I need to discourage them from violence and from drugs and those kind of things. Those are the kinds of things that make life more meaningful, not building some wall that we haven't had for years. Life has been good at times, and that wall didn't have anything, or the lack of it didn't have anything to do with it. So what we need to be doing is spending our money on humanity, on human beings, and not on brick and mortar that is not going to make a difference. Now, if you're going to spend money on the roads and the bridges that are going to put people to work, then fine. But we can't drive on no wall, and we cannot make life safer because of no wall. That wall is never going to give you the kind of safety that that Donald Trump has suggested. And so what we need to do is spend our money on humanity. Every dime that we have available to us that can be spent on the betterment of humanity will be a dime well spent. Joyce, what are your thoughts about the craziness that we seemingly want to spend our money on, and we know we're never going to really get it spent on that, but we could spend money on making life better for every individual citizen?
We might not, that's a possibility. You may not see the wall, but I think that that will be a reality, that you're going to see a portion of the wall. But look at all the money so far that has been spent just to get contractors to do bidding and for them to put a research out there. So that's billions of dollars that could have been filtered into our healthcare program to not diminish some of the programs that they're trying to. But it's all in the people in power as to what it is that they want to have done, you see. As long as it doesn't affect them. Now, one thing that they are pushing to is this drug, this opiate, that has been outrageous. And the only reason why that's being pushed so hard and they want to pass a bill and they want health care for that is because now it has affected their family, someone that they know. It has hit home. But as long as the opiate academic was only curtailed to the minorities and the poor, it was no big deal. But now they want to pass laws, so it's all what is important to them. But right now, poor people health care don't mean a thing to them, so why should they put it there? But what does mean something to them is keeping all the bad guys out, what quote that they think, by building a wall. But the wall is it would never stand. Never stand.
Well, George, one of the things is that I just think it's incredible that, you know, you got to understand no wall is meant for people not to scale it. And, you know, they've already making a joke of it about in Mexico. They've already shown you that they can dig their way into a jail and get a person out who's in a specific cell. So why in the world do you believe that they won't be able to tunnel under a wall or scale that wall with a $25 ladder? And it just don't, you know, we've been for years not having a wall. And so, therefore, we've been going on with life, and life has been good in a lot of instances. And I'm sitting here telling you, in a lot of instances, we need those people here anyway so that they'll do the jobs that most Americans don't want to do. I mean, we're in denial and we're blind that we know that most Mexicans and are working in industries that most American people, present American people, don't want to do. And that's been from the beginning of time, when you had the Chinese working on the railroad, when you had people from all kind of nationalities coming over here and doing the labor that most Americans didn't want to do. So we've always had a segment of our population that came from a different place willing to do the labor that we didn't want to do for the betterment of society. So to suggest that we don't want or can't use those people that are coming here is just a lie, and we're not being honest with ourselves. And
that's
RJ,
true,
that
those
know,
are...
I know that you all, Joyce and Andre, you all grew up in Mississippi, and I know that farming used to be a big part of what young people would do. That is not a part of what I know here in Florida. You can't find any American kids out there picking those citrus.
Yes, things have changed. You're exactly right. Most families, like you say, they prefer not to have their children involved with those type of jobs. They're more into technology, and that's good too. But everything has its place. You know, one of the things that I'm greatest concerned about now is after watching 60 Minutes on yesterday, and it has to do with artificial intelligence. And I don't know if you all saw the movie iRobot, but when they were talking about these artificial intelligent robots that they have, that they're now making them even more and more human-like, such that they can read emotions and expressions, which when I was coming up, that was one of the things my teacher taught me, that, you know, computers would never replace humans because they don't have emotions, you know, and they just program. But I don't know if you guys saw IBM Watson. He was on Jeopardy, and he won that, but now they've made this female, I think her name was Sheila, but I mean, they look human and they can think, and now they're working in the medical field of trying to, you know, solve cancer. And they had interns to diagnose patients, and they had Sheila to diagnose patients. And 99% of the time, Sheila had the same diagnosis as the interns. But the only thing, Sheila, in some cases, outperformed the interns because she had the most current data as relates to medical research, whereas the interns had not had a chance to read it. So my concern is now that, you know, when we have these Alexas that has a history of who we are and what we like and that kind of stuff like that, the computer can tell you how far you are from your workplace, and if the traffic is light, and, you know, it tells you your shopping history, what you like, what type of movies and all this kind of stuff. You know, in essence, we're being phased out, and I'm thinking about my grandchildren and how that will impact them. So the bottom line to me is that if we don't come together as a people, and specifically African Americans, don't come together and let our voices be heard, we're going to find ourselves in an awful challenging place, an awful challenging place, especially for our generations that's coming behind us.
All right, we're going to take our final break, and we're going to come back, everyone, and give us their final word for this evening.
Thinking back in time when love was only in my mind, I realized ain't no second chance. You got to hold on to romance, don't let it slide. There's a special kind.
Drinking that one, she'll be done with it by now. Pump those things because we got
to
get that blood pressure up.
It is my desire to create a legacy for myself and for my family. So I decided to add Larry Curry to my success team and to my circle of life. He's a part of my first string. It is his job to turn my nickels into dimes and my sweat into equity. Larry has shown me that he has the competency, integrity, and the focus to find a positive direction for my money, and consequently, that can brighten my future endeavors. So my trust in him and his financial insight has led me to introduce you to him. If you're concerned about your financial future and have not seen real growth in the seeds you have planted, I encourage you to add Larry Curry to your success team. Please contact him at 407-800-4154 so that your financial journey to success can begin.
Kathy, do you have a final word for today?
Yes, Mr. Deshay. Thank you so kindly. I just wanted to let you guys know that you guys did an awesome job today, and that even though I'm not educated on the government and the presidency and the justice of the insurance and all of that, I am listening, I am taking notes, and I am meditating and marinating on everything that you guys say. So I may not comment, but I am listening, and that's the great thing. Thank you guys so much.
Well, Kathy, I want you to also recognize, you know, I'm going to call you out. You did see I played some new music today, and some of it was spiritual in nature, and it wasn't even Sunday. So now what did you think of that?
Well, since you missed yesterday, I think that's why you did it. But thank you so much. I did recognize that you played gospel music today. I was like, okay. I said, oh, that's right, because yesterday we were not on, so he had to get it in for us. Thank you so much. I appreciate you remembering that, Mr. Deshay.
Hey, well, I try, Kathy. You know, I want to make sure that everybody knows that I'm a believer, and that sometimes that music uplifts you and gets you in the right frame of mind to do what it is that you need to do. And, Joyce, I just want to thank you for your persistence on getting us those phone numbers so that we can make sure that we call our senators and do what they – you know, all of us play a part, and I just appreciate the role you play in making sure that we have those phone numbers that so we can call our senators. Joyce, what is your final thought for today?
Okay, thank you. I love you, Kathy. I would like to see everybody today take that phone number, put it in every contact that you have in your email, and email that out for that person to call their senator and tell them to put it in their contact and send it to everyone in their contact. We definitely need to get moving on this, people. That would be an impact because everybody in your contact and ask them to notify everybody in their contact. Oh, my Lord, we'll just explode those lines and let them know that do not touch. If you cannot make it better, leave it alone. That should be
your
closing.
So right.
If you cannot make it better, leave it alone.
I'm going to tell you right now that as soon as the show is over, that I'm going to call, and I'll be calling tomorrow as well. And, again, I just want to thank you, and I'll post it in my posting so that we know that we need to get the word out to our senators that we're not happy with them changing the direction of insurance for all people, and that we're not happy, in addition, not happy with all these tax breaks that they're giving to the rich. All right.
Exactly.
Guys, I will see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to just tell you, as always, I thank you for your support.
One by one, since you took me in, I know I'll never love this way again.